Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiowitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. Prekim Yud Zayin through Chaf Aleph, 17 through 21, are their own section, and they are the third and final section of Sefer Shoftim. So just to review, the first section of Sefer Shoftim was an introduction. It told us about the end of the period of Yoshua, the period that was so bright and joyous and successful. And in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, we saw that there were actually many holes in the conquest, and that after Yoshua died, the people regressed and began picking up all the practices and the customs of the nations around them. And we were also introduced to the cycle of the Shoftim, that the way that this cycle of leadership would happen, there would be a problem. The problem would come from an enemy or a nation that was around them who was making their lives miserable in a variety of different ways. Ultimately, the people, B'nai Israel, would cry out to Hashem, do some sort of tshuva. Hashem would then send them a savior. The savior would save them. And hopefully, in the best of cases, they would have peace for a certain number of times. But then finally, that peace would fall away. And then the people would regress again. And the cycle itself would continue. Now, in our middle section, which was the bulk of the book, we went through the different charismatic leaders that led, beginning with the more idyllic leadership of Otniel ben Knaz, Ehud ben Gera, and descending really it in a downward spiral until we reached the very tragic and difficult to even say whether it was a salvation under the leadership of Shimshon. And now we're up to the last cycle. Now the last cycle, it's not even really a cycle. This last section is a closing to the book. And it becomes its own literary section by the repetition of the words, Bayamim Haheim Ein Melech Bisrael. At that time, there was no king of Israel. Ish Hayashar Ben Avyasa. Everybody did as they pleased. People made their own decisions. And here it almost seems like it's pointing to a situation of anarchy in the absence of centralized leadership. And the way that this message is given over is by telling us two stories, using this thesis that repeats itself three times, and also telling us two stories that show us the disintegration of B'nai Israel at that time that are epitomize what happens when there is no real leadership. Now, the first story begins, actually one more word before we begin, Rashi adopts this approach, and this is, I think, the approach that really makes sense from the language here, which is that the last two stories are not really stories that happened chronologically. Rashi suggests, here's a quote from, this is the Rashi on the first Pasuk of Yud Zayin. He says, although both incidents, and this is the story that we'll call Pesel Micha, that's what we're going to learn today, and then the story of Pileg Eshvil B'Givah, which we're going to describe both of them in detail. But Rashi says, although both incidents are recorded at the conclusion of this book, the episodes took place at the beginning of the period of Judges, during the days of the first Shofate, Otniel ben Knaz. Now, why then are they here at the end? And our answer is going to be that to make a point, these stories are saved for the end, even though they happened at the beginning, in order to show this thesis, to prove this thesis, that the anarchy that ensues without central leadership. And as we're reading through these two stories, I'll point out the places where it becomes clear that these stories most likely happened much earlier. Okay, let's begin. Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi ish mehar Ephraim ushmo Michaihu. So there was a man who lived in Har Ephraim, and his name was Micha, or Michaihu. Now he comes to his mother, and he says to his mother, Elef umeya hakesef asher lukach lach, ve'at alit, v'gam amarte ba'aznai, hine hakesef iti ani lakachtiv. So he says, you know, there was all this money that you gave me, and I said that this money was, I didn't say anything about it, but then you cursed the person who took the money, so now I need to fess up. It was me. I was the one who took the money. So while Micha stole the money from his mother, he is afraid of his mother's curse. So he gives her back the 1,100 shekels of silver that he took from her, and he says, here it is. And his mother says, Baruch b'ni l'Hashem, right? Bless you, my son, to God. But then she continues, and this is in Pasuk Gimel, and she actually takes some of the money, and she gives him, and she says, V'tomer imo, his mother said, Hakdei shekdashi et hakesef l'Hashem miyadi livni, lasot pesel masecha v'ata ashivenilach. She says, you know what? But this money that you're just returning to me, I already sanctified that money, that it should go to God. So I'm going to give it to you in order to create Pesel Masecha, which is a type of pagan worship. So let me give it to you so that you can do this. Now this time, by the way, she doesn't actually give him all the 1,100 shekels. She gives him 200 shekels at this point. What happened to the rest of the money? We're not sure. But Micha uses that money, and with it he builds Beit Elohim, a house for God, but now I say God, well, with a question mark. I was going to say God with a cap, lowercase g, because he's certainly building a pagan Pesel Masecha, are the words that are used for idolatry. And yet, his mother used the Shem Hashem, saying, build this Pesel Masecha that is for God with capital G. So it's actually a little unclear. It feels like a real mixing of pagan worship together with worship of God. But Micha takes the money, builds an ephod with it, a breastplate, which was used in as the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. He builds trafim, and he decides that he will use one of his sons as a Kohen. And then we have our refrain that I mentioned at the beginning in Pasuk Vav, Bayamim Ahim, Ein Melech Bisrael, Ish Hayashar Be'inav Yaseh. Now, this is going on. So there's no king. Everyone is doing whatever they so desire. At this point, a Levi, who is living in Beit Lechem Yehuda, but is looking for work, comes to Har Ephraim, and he ends up in the house of Micha. Micha says, who are you? The Levi explains, and Micha says, you know what? If you stay with me, I'll pay you, and you will be for me like an Av, like a father figure in a way, or I guess a leader, and a Kohen. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayoel HaLevi LaShevet Et HaIsh, the Levi agreed to live with the man. The man here is Micha. Vayehi HaNa'ar Lo, and he was working for him, Ke'achad MiBanav, like one of his sons. And I'll point it out here just as like to flag it, but we'll come back to this, that this language is actually very reminiscent of the story of Moshe. When Moshe stays with Yitro, when he finds a home in the house of Yitro, it's the exact same language. Vayoel Moshe Lashevet Et Ha'ish. Moshe agrees to live with Yitro. It's a very strange language. That's why it stands out. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind as something that we're going to come back to. So this Levi decides that he's going to stay with Micha. He will serve as the Kohen in his idolatrous house. So Micha stays. Vayimale, this is the ending of the perek. Vayimale psukim yudba and yudgimel. Vayimale Micha et yad halevi vayihilo lina'ar lakohen. He stays with him. He will be his kohen. Vayihi bevet Micha, and his home became in the house of Micha. Vayomer Micha, and Micha says, Ataya dati, now I know, ki etiv Hashem li, that God has been good to me, ki hayali halevi lekohen, because the Levi decided to be my Kohen. And that is the closing of this very short perek. It's only 13 psukim. So just to review, we began the perek with a story of a man from Har Ephraim. His name was Micha. He stole money from his mother, but his mother then gave him back some of that money and said, use this money to make a idolatrous worship house for God. Micha agreed to do this, and he did. Then finally he finds a Levi who's wandering looking for work. And the Levi says, he says to him, come, you'll be my Kohen. The Levi agrees, he is his Kohen for him. And Micha says, this is great. Now I know that God really loves me. So just a few points to take away from this, and we're going to continue the story into next parak. One thing we see here is this real synchronization. There's the word of God is there, right? The mother mentions God, Micha mentions God, everybody's talking about God, but yet there's paganism, there's pagan worship. We talk about Pesel Masecha, which are words of idolatry. And also there's no sense of that the Mikdash was done in a very, very specific way, only in a specific place. Here, Micha is setting up a type of Pesel, some type of cultic ceremony to God, but it's in his home. He's using first one of his sons, then he's using a Levi to be the Kohen. So there isn't that sense of this has to be done in a certain way. So we have the synchronization, the idolatry and Avodat Hashem, and we also have the lack of the rules that go with it. So there's this breakdown in terms of the Bein Adam LeMakom, in the way that God is worshipped. But even though the focus is on Avodat Hashem in the sense of Bein Adam LeMakom, worshiping God, at the same time, there's also a full breakdown of social norms. Morality is broken down. Micha steals from his mother in order to build this cult. And I think almost the hardest piece of this is that she doesn't even seem surprised or upset when he tells her that he took the money from her. So there's a breakdown not only in the relationship with God, but there's also a breakdown in the relationship between people. And so mixed into this is a sense of a loss of our like ritual norms that we use to relate to Hashem, and also our morality and the norms of how people relate to each other. And all of this is bracketed within this refrain of Bayamim Haim Ein Melech B'Yisrael Ish Hayashar Be'Einav Yaseh. In those days, there was no king of Israel. Everybody did as they wished. We'll continue this story tomorrow. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.